Welcome, Green Future Growers, Progressive Radio Network listeners, and anybody who's new to the show. I'm your host, Jackie Marie Beyer, and let's get growing. Welcome to the Organic Gardener Podcast. It is Thursday, June 28th, 2018. I'm back in Montana and so excited because Megan Kane is back with us today, and I know everybody always loves to hear from her. She sent me an email from her blog that I'm always reading, but it was about cilantro, and it seems like people have been talking about cilantro a lot lately, and I know I struggle to grow cilantro, so I asked her if she would come on and talk about that. And then while we were waiting, I was looking at her YouTube channel, so I was hoping she would talk about that a little today because I hadn't seen that before, and I know you guys, it's so professional looking, you're going to love that too. So welcome, Megan.
Thank you. Thanks for having me back. I was trying to remember how many times I've been on the show. This has got to be like the fourth or fifth time.
I think it's five. It could be four, but I think so. So, yeah. Well, everybody loves you and your site's so beautiful. Your blog's always so elegant and just you have such a nice tone and your pictures are fantastic. And yeah. And cilantro is just, do you want to tell us some secrets about that, I guess?
Sure. I think it's something that's on a lot of people's minds this time of year because it's summer. And one thing that it's good to know about is that cilantro doesn't really like the summer. So it doesn't like the heat. And even I live in a northern climate in Wisconsin, and even we get pretty hot in the summer. And it also the increasing daylight, which we just hit the solstice, so now we actually have decreasing daylight. But the increasing daylight can also cause things to bolt and go to flower. So if you've planted cilantro, you may notice that after you get one or two harvests, it starts getting taller and taller, and it starts to push up a flower, which is called bolting. And then eventually that flower will set seed. So it's basically the plant's trying to reproduce itself, and often it's because it's stressed, and that's often because of the heat. So a lot of people, it's a very common question when I'm out and about teaching classes and speaking at gardening conferences that people ask me, how do I grow cilantro? And so the biggest, well, one thing to know is that the conditions it likes really are cool, not in the summer. So I have a lot better luck growing it in spring and fall. So for spring, now we're already past that for this year, but some people might be listening to this in the winter, in the future, but you want to plant it as early as possible. So I usually plant cilantro probably about a month before my average last frost. So my average last frost is about mid-May, and I tend to plant it in mid-April. And that can be outside in the garden as long as your soil can be worked. Certainly this year, I had snow in mid-April. But if the conditions are okay, you can plant it about a month before your last frost. And it's going to be a lot happier because it's much cooler. If you have a cold frame or a low tunnel, I've been experimenting with those things in my garden. I actually plant cilantro even a month before that in about mid-March. And it does pretty well. But even if you plant it early, it's going to go to seed, it's going to bolt. And so one tip is to keep planting. So you don't want to just plant cilantro once and then think you're going to have cilantro for the rest of the season. It's one of those vegetables that's best for succession planting. So you just keep planting it. And so I wasn't that good about it this year. And I just wrote myself a note for last year that said, remind myself, plant cilantro every 2 weeks, because we use a lot of cilantro and I love using it in cooking. So just you can just keep planting it. Just keep planting a row every week, every 2 weeks. And then you'll notice that when it gets towards the summer, it bolts pretty quickly. So you kind of have to harvest it. And then I kind of cut mine down pretty short to try to prevent it from bolting. But usually then some of the leaves grow back. I cut it again, and then often it bolts after that. So I just keep planting it. So that's one tip.
What do you do after it bolts? Do you just pull it out, or do you like mix it back in with the soil, or do you just let it sit there and go to seed? What do you do after it bolts?
Well, I think that's a great question. I love the flowers. I think they're really pretty. So I let it flower for a while. The beneficial insects really like it. I found ladybugs and other cool insects on there. But so I was just on vacation. I let mine flower and it did start to go to seed, but it gets a little bit top heavy, and we got it rain when I was away on vacation, so I came home and it was all flopped over on the bed, and I actually had carrots that had recently seeded in that bed, so it was kind of flopped over and covering them, so I just yanked it out. So it's kind of up to you. In general, I encourage people that once a plant isn't producing anymore, get it out and get something in else in so that you can get another crop in there. But, you know, sometimes we like the flowers or we want to keep things around for insects, and I think that's fine too. So I ripped mine out, and then I'll probably plant maybe another row of carrots or beets, or I might just wait a little bit longer, leave that space empty until I get a little bit closer to planting for my fall garden. So that's a great question. The another tip is if you can keep cilantro cooler in the summer, you will likely have better luck. So if you can plant it somewhere in your garden where that gets a little bit of shade. So a few years ago, I went to visit some friends who are huge vegetable gardeners, and they have a part of their garden that is really shady. And so in general, not that great for veggies, but they had planted cilantro and a bunch of salad greens, and we went to visit them in August, which usually I don't have a lot of cilantro or salad greens in August because it's been really hot in Wisconsin, but they had a full lush bed of cilantro and salad greens because it was such a shady bed. So that would be one tip. If you have a shady part in your garden, that's a great place in the summer to plant some of those things that don't like the hot weather. And then finally, one of the experiments that I'm doing this year I bought some shade cloth. So you can get, it's a lightly woven black mesh. And when you look online, you can actually see there's different thicknesses and it blocks out a certain amount of light. So I bought one that blocks out about 30% of the light. So I still need some light to grow vegetables. But so I put that over one of my beds that gets some late afternoon shade. And then I planted cilantro and salad mix under there just as an experiment. So can I keep salad mix and cilantro going throughout the summer with some shade cloth? We shall see. That's my experiment. But a lot of times I take a break from, I love salad mix, we eat a lot of salads, but a lot of times I just take a break in the summer because it also bolts pretty quickly. So I'm hoping that shade cloth might extend my season a little bit.
Wow. That was a lot. So three awesome tips for keeping cilantro growing through your summer, which I really like. And one thing that I was thinking about is that, like, when it does bolt, like, a lot of other things are coming on. So it's kind of nice to take that break, like you were saying, because then you have all this other food and it's kind of hard to keep up with everything. So it might be good, you know, like, because that's when, like, zucchinis are probably finally starting to grow or, you know, to harvest, and green beans. And is that right?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, the other thing is sometimes I just go to the farmer's market and I buy cilantro from somebody that's having better luck than I am keeping it going. So I have a pretty good big garden, but I still go to the farmer's market because I like to see what everybody's growing. And sometimes I buy stuff that I'm not growing in my garden or someone else is doing it better than me. But I forgot the biggest, or not the biggest, but one of my favorite tips about cilantro is that you should plant it for a fall garden. Growing it in fall is a completely different experience than growing it in the spring and summer. So I am a big proponent, especially for people in cold climates, of growing a fall garden. It's such an amazing season, and I think it's one where a lot of people run out of energy and they don't really try to have a fall garden. But because it's cooler and we have less, the days are shorter, where I live, the mosquitoes disappear, a lot of the garden pests disappear, the weeds get basically disappear as well. There's not a lot of weed growth anymore. And cilantro, if you plant it for a fall garden, it will last forever. Well, not forever, because I live in Wisconsin, so eventually things die, but it's frost hardy, so it can go through the first frost and be fine. So I harvest it for many, many more weeks in the fall than I ever could in the spring or the summer. And so if there's folks out there that have a little room, you can try planting it, depending on where you live. I plant it let's see, my first frost is usually the first week in October, although the last few years it's been way off and it's been much later. So I'm planting cilantro in August usually, throughout August, several different succession plantings. And then where I live, usually September, it gets a lot cooler, and then into October. And if you cover it with row cover, or if you have a hoop house, a little low tunnel, or a cold frame, you can get it going. I've harvested it for Thanksgiving, and sometimes even in December, I continue to harvest it if I give it a little bit of cover. So I highly recommend growing it in fall if you love cilantro, but you get frustrated with it always going to seed in the other seasons.
Oh, that's exactly what I was going to ask you. Excellent. Because I was thinking, like, I can't remember if it was you that taught me, but, like, one of the big things I struggled with was, like, coming to terms with planting my fall garden at the end of July in August. Like, I always think plant fall garden so you would plant it in September, but you really need to start planting it, like, at the end of July, early August, I think, for me. But do you have any tips for, like, succession planting? Like, I just never get that. Like, I partly feel like I should take the seeds apart, take the seed packet apart on my kitchen table before I go down to the garden, separate the, and be like, I'm only planting these 10 seeds or whatever, 12 seeds, instead of, like, I take the packet down, and I'm like, ah, well, what's left? I'll just get another packet or something, and then I never do. And then I never, like, do you have any secrets for that?
Yeah, I mean, part of it is if I have a planting calendar, so I encourage people to have some kind of calendar that keeps you on track. I'm pretty good at getting things out of the garden and opening up spaces, so I cram every single little space in my garden with something. Now, certainly you want to make sure you give things enough room to grow, but I'm always trying to fit more things in. And as soon as I harvest, you know, if I harvest something and, like, say spinach, I pulled out a lot of spring spinach in the last month, and I just ripped it all out, and I just immediately, usually that same day, I plant something else, like carrots or beets or something that's good for succession planting. So part of it's habit. I think you're right, making sure that you have enough seeds. So if you, there's a few things that I succession plant, like carrots and spinach and beets, that I get, I don't get the smallest seed packet. I get the next biggest one, the next big one, or the next smallest one, because sometimes the small ones don't really even have that many seeds in them. So for something like squash, it doesn't matter because you're probably not going to plant that many. But for carrots, I'm planting a bunch of rows. I love to grow carrots. So I'll just make sure that I get a lot of seed so that I know that I always have seed and I'm ready to plant whenever I have a space that opens up. So it's a little bit of a habit. It's trying to get yourself out there. It's about filling spaces whenever you have space. And you're right, the fall garden, I've been starting to think about my fall garden, because you can't wait till fall because it's too late. Because most places, especially northern climates, we don't have enough sunlight. Plant growth really slows down in the fall. So things are growing slower. This time of year, things are growing really fast. We have long days in the north. So plant growth is, you can almost sit there and watch your plants grow. Things are growing so quickly. I went away for the weekend and I came back 3 days later and I thought, oh my gosh, everything's so much bigger. But in fall, it's different. Things are slowing down. So you really need, I'm in zone 5A in Wisconsin, and I plant the majority of my fall garden, well, in August, but if you want to plant carrots, you got to plant them in July, and even beets probably by the end of July, because they take a little bit longer. And then throughout August, I'm planting a lot of greens and turnips and radishes, and I usually plant up until right at the beginning of September, and after that it's too late, things aren't really going to grow. So it's something for folks to be thinking about, but it's so awesome to have a fall garden. I have lots of blog posts on my website, creativevegetablegardener.com, where I talk about fall gardening. And I also developed an online class that walks people through the entire process of when you should plant, figuring out when you should plant things based on your zone, what varieties I recommend for cold weather, how to use row cover, how to build a low tunnel, how to use a cold frame. So lots and lots of things. Yeah, I mean, the summer gardening season can be frustrating, I think. There's a lot of pests. It can be hot. People don't necessarily enjoy the heat. We have mosquitoes in Wisconsin. I know a lot of other people do. So I don't know. I think it's more fun in a way to garden in the fall, and I think it's also easier. So that's my plug. Start a fall garden.
Cool. Well, definitely, you've taught me a lot about that, and I think we've had more success with fall garden things. Like broccolis are another cool weather one that struggle a little more here in the heat. Definitely, like, and you're so right about that. That like things are, it's really hot in August. Like, I don't know how many times we've come. It feels like almost an August slump where it's just like things are dry. You're tired. Like you planted all this with lots of ambition, and then it's like, oh my gosh. How am I going to do all this? And the one thing we're having is like, it is so cold today. Like it's really damp. Like things have like, it's almost like it's slowed down like in the fall. Like, cause I just went to New York for 2 weeks and I came back and Mike was like, things haven't really grown as much as I was surprised. Like the potatoes are huge. There's Swiss chard where there wasn't Swiss chard, you know, the Swiss chard grew really well in the kale, but a lot of things that I thought were going to be a lot bigger just didn't. Like the corn's barely above my ankles instead of knee high on the 4th of July. Like it's just like the cold has really made a difference. It's been pretty chilly here, I guess, in Montana this spring. So but for those cold weather crops, like I feel like I should go plant some cilantro right now.
You could. Yeah, I just planted some last week. I just continue to plant, and some plantings do better than others. But I love cilantro so much. I use a lot of it. So, and I throw it in my pesto. I have a couple sauces that I make for winter that we like to use on tacos. So for me, I could almost never have too much cilantro. So I just keep planting it whenever possible.
Nice. Well, I think this is all great advice listeners are really going to like. Do you want to tell them about your YouTube site a little? That like, I love your videos. I love the way that like, I don't know that they're edited. Like that's something I haven't figured out, how to put two videos together, and you've got like the text type there, and I don't know, you're just really good at explaining things too.
Thanks. Yeah. So recently I have a lot of videos. I have a membership site, a garden club where people pay either yearly or monthly. And I make a lot of videos for them. So we do a community learning challenge every month or so where people vote about what they want to learn. And then I figure out how to teach it. And then I make lots of videos. So most of my videos are pretty short and to the point. 6 minutes or less is what I try to do. And I had so many videos that I decided I should just start putting some on YouTube and sharing them with everybody, because I know that there's some people that like to learn by reading a blog post, but there's also some people that like to learn by watching a video and seeing things in action. So a lot of my videos happen in my garden. So when I'm teaching or explaining something, I'm actually doing it in my garden. So one of my most popular videos is, and blog posts, is how to prune your tomatoes. So in that video, I go out to a tomato plant, I talk about all the parts and show people how to prune. So it's really fun. A fun way to teach, and a fun way for folks to just kind of see things in action and also just get a little peek inside my garden. So it's fairly new, the YouTube channel, but every week I usually add a new video. If folks are on my email list, you get a notification with the weekly email and any kind of applicable blog posts that are also on that subject. And if you're not on my email list, you can sign up at my website, which is creativevegetablegardener.com. There's lots of places to sign up for my email list. I usually send out an email every Sunday morning. And I've also done surveys in the past to wondering what does the people on my email list want to learn about. And so I take a look at those topics, and then sometimes I'll make a video about it. So it's been really fun. I was just editing this week's video, which is more of a fun non-gardening related video, because I was on vacation last week up on Lake Superior, and we recently bought a tiny travel trailer. So I don't know if anybody knows what a scamp is, but it's a fiberglass, very small 13-foot trailer for camping. And I posted some pictures on social media, and a lot of people were saying, we want a tour inside, share some pictures of the inside. Aww. So while we were up there on Lake Superior, I made a video just about a little bit about where we were camping and what led us to, like, a story about why we decided to buy a trailer, and then I gave a little tour of inside. So that's kind of a fun video that I'll actually probably upload to YouTube today and then send it out to my list on Sunday. So most of them are gardening related, but I also try to do just some fun ones periodically, because, you know, sometimes you just want to watch a fun video instead of an educational video.
Absolutely. And I've been like working on this new kind of website, like kind of focusing more on my teaching thing called Authentic Teacher, because I think people like to see your authentic self. And that's a definite example of your authentic self. So,
yeah, that's a great point.
Well, thanks for sharing everything with us. And just, I know listeners always love to hear from you because you add so much value and just you really help people. Gardens grow nicely with, you know, just like actionable steps and things that work because you've got a lot of experience. So,
yeah, this is it. This is summer. So I just encourage people to get out there and really just appreciate your garden. One of the ways that I like to do it is take my camera out and I take a lot of photos for just for pleasure, but also for my website and emails and things like that. But the things that I see through my camera lens are always very different than what I see when I'm just out working in the garden, because I go out and kind of search for all the beauty and all the details. So don't forget to put your to-do list down and just get out there and have your morning cup of tea or coffee or a drink at night, or eat your dinner in your garden, or just sit there and look around at all your hard work and take some time to appreciate it, because we're at the height of summer. This is it.
Nice. For sure. I love to go down and take pictures and just be in the garden. And one of these days this summer, I'm going to get to paint down there too. So.
Oh, cool. That's a good idea.
Well, thanks, Megan. You have an awesome day.
You too. Thanks for checking in. I'll talk to you soon.
Hey there, Green Future Growers. Would you like your friends and neighbors to create an organic oasis too? Would you like others in your area to learn about earth-friendly practices for their gardens and yards? If so, we would love it if you would share the Organic Gardener podcast with your local community or college radio station today. Thanks again for listening, and remember, grow local.